take a moment to stretch up and settle in. And be aware whenever you settle into a posture that there is some relaxing of the body into that posture. The relaxation may be in just one part of the body, or it may spontaneously move from place to place within the body, or you may feel it over your whole body at once. Let your face go smooth. Let the jaw drop a little bit. Let the arms hang limp and loose. The legs are not bearing weight. And in the core of your body, when you breathe out, the muscles relax. The out-breath just happens. Physical relaxation is a body experience, and it is also a restful experience. There can also sometimes be emotional peace in the body, or an absence of physical sensation somewhere or everywhere in the body. These are the experiences of feel rest. Focus on feel rest. You can use the mental label if you wish, or a label that you make up that means the same thing. Moment by moment, find and or create feel rest. Focus on it. You can do it with your eyes open by defocus, soft focus, far focus, whatever you want to call it. Let's spend a few minutes exploring sea rest with eyes open or closed as you wish. Sea rest and feel rest are often available. Hear rest is sometimes available. The mental talk might stop for a while. There might be a direction in space. On the right, left, in front, behind, above, or below, where there's an absence of sound and therefore a presence of silence. If hear rest is available at this time, focus on that, note that, with or without a mental label. If it's not available, fine, then go back either to see rest or feel rest, whatever is appealing to you. Good. So, what we've done so far is work individually with the possibility of rest in each of the three basic modalities, sensory modalities. Normally, how do our senses operate in daily life? Well, we're pulled between visual, auditory, somatic. We're also pulled between inner and outer. So the outer visual is the seeing of the physical world. The inner visual is the seeing of mental images, visual thoughts, memory, plan, fantasy, people, places, situations, objects. So there's a sort of inward tug to mental image activity, a kind of see in, and an outward tug to physical sight, which is a kind of see out. In the same way, there's an outward tug towards the sounds of the world, and there's an inward tug towards our mental comments, which may be about the world, or it may be about other things. Now, what about the body? Well, the body is the body, but certain kinds of body sensations are part of emotion, and those are important. So, just like we have hear out and hear in, we could say that if you have emotional body sensations, that's a sort of feel in. Not feel in, meaning that it is located inside the body, but just metaphorically the emotional side of the body. Relative to that, the purely physical sensations, itches and aches, pressures and pains, sleepiness, your stomach's empty, your bladder's full, those kinds of sensations, just the physicality of your body. That's sort of more of an it, less of an I. So that could be called feel out, or the physical side of the body. So in ordinary life, if you pay attention closely, you'll see that you move both to outer activation when the physical world pulls you, and then you move to inner activation when you have thoughts and emotions. That inner activation may be a reaction to the outer world, or it may go off on its own and spin memory, plan, fantasy, worry, problem solving, and so forth. So it's a kind of system, a system that has three sensory, fundamental sensory flavors, and your attention tends to spontaneously shift from see to hear to feel. And then it has a sort of objective physical side and a subjective mental emotional side, and the attention is also pulled in and out as it's moving between these modalities. So your ordinary experience is like this: see out, feel in, see out, feel out, feel in, see out, feel out, feel in, see out, hear out. Here in. So what I was just doing is, with spoken labels, I was noting the spontaneous movement of my attention. And you notice sometimes it was to visual, sometimes to auditory, sometimes to somatic, sometimes to the outer world of sight, sound, and physical body, other times to the metaphorically inner world of image, talk, and emotional body. From this moment until the moment that you die, other than restful states, every waking moment will be involved in one or a combination of the six things that I just talked about. That's sort of an awesome thought, isn't it? To the extent that the world exists for you, it's because of see out, hear out, feel out. To the extent that you are convinced you have a self inside the world, subject to the world, that's see in, hear in, feel in. You can do an experiment. Years ago, I was asked to talk about Buddhism to a group of scientists. This was at a conference, and each speaker had 20 minutes. And this was not a conference about Buddhism. This was a conference about science, neuroscience. And there were Nobel laureate scientists there, okay, in like the top level. Some of the people there were top level scientists. But each person had exactly 20 minutes to speak. I was the only person that represented Buddhist meditation. So the assignment was to talk to a bunch of hard-nosed scientists. That means very critical, skeptical scientists about Buddhist enlightenment, and you have 20 minutes, and they have never meditated. And the assignment was not to sound like a fool or a New Age airhead. So it's an interesting assignment. That was about 20 years ago, and at that time I had about 20 years of meditation. So I had 1 minute for each year of meditation experience. So I don't know if you've noticed, but I don't prepare my talks. I just let it. But I figured I better prepare this talk. Because I only have 20 minutes, and these people have no experiential background at all, and I need to convince them that there is something for a scientist to honor in the meditative traditions of the world. So I thought about it, and here's what I did. I said, I'm going to describe an experiment that you can do. This is how I approach that audience. So here's the experiment. Go in a place where there is sound that's ongoing. It could be music or whatever. And moment by moment, I would like you to pay attention to how you react to that sound. At any given instant, that sound either will or will not create a mental picture. Two possibilities. At any given instant, that sound either will or will not create a mental talk, a comment. That's also two possibilities. So how many possibilities total now?
Four.
Two times two. Right. You either have a see in or you don't. For each of those two possibilities, you either have hear in or you don't. At any given instant, you will either have an emotional body reaction to that sound or you won't. Now, how many possibilities?
Eight.
Two times two, not two plus two, because they multiply. Now, how can we classify those eight possibilities? Well, there's one extreme is when you hear the sound, you have see in, hear in, and feel in, all three, right? That's one extreme. Another extreme is there's just the sound. No image, no talk. No emotional body reaction. That's another extreme. So that's two out of the eight. You might just have an image, or just have talk, or just have the emotional body. That's three more. And there's three more. You might have image and talk at the same time, but no emotion in the body. You might have image and emotion in the body, but no talk. You might have talk, emotion in the body, but no image. Or am I repeating myself? Anyway, there are those three other possibilities. And there are no more logical possibilities. There are exactly those eight. Not seven, not nine, because it's a binary system. Okay, this is math. Sorry about that. So it's three binary variables. Therefore, there are 2 to the 3rd equals 8. exactly possible states of the subjective system. So because they're scientists and they're familiar with math, everybody followed what I said. So that only took 5 minutes. So I got 15 minutes more. Okay. So I said, you can do this experiment and pay attention and you'll discover something interesting. When there's see in, hear in, feel in, all three at the same time, reacting to the sound, there will be a very strong impression that there is a me listening to the it of the sound, and there'll be distance. The sound is there, and there's a me, a person, a thing, a yesh inside that is the one who hears. On the other hand, if it should happen that there's only the sound and there's no reaction of image, talk, or emotional body, you will not have the sense that there is a self inside. There will only be sound. There will be no distance between you and the sound. And you will have an experience of, I am the sound. And that is an experience of oneness of inside and outside, which is a completeness or a connection to everything. But it's also an experience of nothingness on the inside, which in Buddhism we call insight into no self or emptiness. So that took me another 5 minutes. So now there's 10 more minutes. And I've explained, in a fairly mathematical, scientific way, an experiment that anyone with an open mind could do that would give them insight. Okay. So, if broadly speaking, the world arises through see out, hear out, feel out, and the self arises through see in, hear in, feel in, if we want it, and our awareness tends to spontaneously move towards inner activation, outer activation, towards visual, auditory, somatic, if there's this sort of spontaneous movement to among three modalities and in, out, between two types of activations, if that's what creates the self in the world, then if we wanted to have an experience of going beyond the self in the world, one way to go about that is, okay, instead of the awareness going in and out to activation, let the awareness broadly float, let it move between visual, auditory, somatic, but always go, when it goes to visual, go to see rest. When it goes to auditory, go to hear rest. When it goes to the body, go to feel rest. So that it's always getting redirected from the physical outer world and the mental emotional inner world. It's still moving from visual to auditory to somatic. That's a natural movement of consciousness. It happens in a baby. It's still moving among the three modalities, but now it's constantly getting redirected. See rest, feel rest, be rest, hear rest, feel rest, see rest, see rest. During this period, that 20 seconds or so that I just noted rest, I had no perception of time or space or self or world. It was just rest. Now I'm seeing out, okay? Now I'm feeling it, smiling, right? Seeing your beautiful faces, so feel in. Up now, self and world have reappeared. See rest, feel rest. See rest, hear rest, feel rest. You all went away. I went away. Everything went away. It's that simple. With a lot of practice.
Yeah.
A lot of practice. But it is that simple, conceptually. So you can have eternal Shabbat. Every day is Shabbat. Every minute is Shabbat. It's the sense of rest, Shabbat Shalom. Okay. So, we worked individually with see rest, hear rest, feel rest. Now we're going to work collectively, take it together. So what does that mean? Well, it's like what you normally do. You're constantly seeing, hearing, feeling, except what you normally go to is see out, hear in, feel in, okay? Now we're gonna let it go between see, hear, feel, just like normal, okay? Except it's gonna go to the restful states to the best of your ability. So when you get pulled to the body, see if you can find the rest, see rest. When you get pulled to visual, look through it, around it, with your eyes open. With your eyes closed, it's easy. The visual will just be the darkness, brightness, your rest, and so forth. So I call this broadly floating. It means let your awareness be pulled spontaneously to whatever restful state is available. If more than one is available at the same time, for simplicity, just note one of the restful states at any given instant. There'll always be some restful state available. You can always be aware that your body is still in the posture. You can always sort of defocus your eyes, and so forth. So that's focus on rest, broad flow. Let's explore it. We'll do this for just a moment, then we'll open it for Q&A. Once again, take a moment to stretch up and settle in. You can do this with your eyes open or closed, whichever appeals to you. Let your attention be pulled between see rest, hear rest, and feel rest. If you want to control it to a certain extent, that's okay too. You basically let it pull you, but you can exercise some control. If you wish to use mental labels, the phrases are see rest, hear rest, feel rest. Since you know you're focusing on rest, if you want to leave off the rest, you could just have see, hear, feel. If you wanted to simplify the label or just rest. So you can modify the labels if you wish, but the technique is the same. As you do this, you will notice that six things will pull you away from rest. Hear out and hear in. See out and see in. If your eyes are open, you get the out. See in is your mental image. Feel out is the physical body. Feel in is the emotional body. These will pull you away from rest. That's okay. Let them arise. Totally let them arise. But don't intentionally focus on them. The intention is to find and or create a restful state moment by moment. Good. Now, let's take a few minutes to discuss our experience, anything you'd like to report, or questions that you may have on what we've done so far. Yes. Oh, a lot louder. It's because of not yet having enough experience working individually with those restful states. But with a little more practice, it should be easier. Basically, it's not so much that you're looking around, but you just sort of let them draw you, you might say. And at the beginning, it's like learning anything else. There's a little bit of confusion and we're not quite sure. And then you bring yourself back to it. But I would just say, if you keep practicing, it should get better. But it's a matter of becoming intimate with the restful states. When you were born, you immediately had to hear out, okay, and see out. And then later on, you developed hear in and see in. And it took a while for your nervous system to sort of learn about all these states. So now you're learning about another possibility. And it takes a little while to become intimate and familiar with these qualities, but then it gets easier. So I would say, just let your attention be drawn towards whatever restful state is available. Now, it's possible that only one restful state is available. Maybe all you experience for a while is feel rest. Or your eyes are closed, all you experience for a while is see rest. If only one restful state is available for a while, that's okay. Just go to that over and over. But then you might notice that one of the other states, oh yeah, it's there, I can, you know, find it or create it. So that's what I would suggest as far as that report goes. Okay, let me ask you some questions. I'm going to repeat the question after I'm sure I know what the question is. So is it the case that you're aware of more than one restful state at the same time? Or is it that like nothing is happening and so there's no distinctions whatsoever?
No, it's like the thing is restful.
But there's no distinction between see or hear or feel.
No, it's like I started with seeing, but then everything seems to
be restful.
Yes.
So that means that if you wanted to find feel rest, you could.
Mm-hmm.
If you wanted to find hear rest, you could also. Mm-hmm. Okay, good. Now I clarified the question. So I'm going to restate your question. So I start by noting whatever is there, see rest, feel rest, but then at some point it's all rest. Everything is at rest. What should I do? That's essentially the question. Okay, I'm going to, as I always do, refer you to the manual. If you go into the section on the path of the way of tranquility, you'll see a description of focus on rest. It's the fourth of the four techniques there, the focus on rest broad flow. And it describes two ways to do the noting, noting with exclusive emphasis versus inclusive emphasis. So remember I said that for inner activation, there was like eight possibilities, right? You could have hear in and hear out, or you could have hear in and see in at the same time. Well, you can have hear rest and see rest at the same time. You can have all rest, okay? All three are available at the same time. So the question, what your question is, which is a very legitimate question, is well, what if more than one rest state is available? What if it's always all rest? What should I do? And there's two possibilities. One is simple. The other is complex, but can be fun. Okay. The simple is, if more than one is available at a given instant, just choose one to acknowledge and focus on. Okay? That's exclusive noting. The opposite, or the complement of that, is inclusive noting. Note however many are available. That's more complicated, okay? So in that case, if you're doing inclusive noting, if it's all three at once, you'd note that as all rest. If it's just see, hear, rest, you'd say, if you were labeling, see, hear, rest. That's inclusive. Now, that gives you seven label phrases, okay? So that's complicated, but it's all encompassing. And some people like that because it's like all rest is like delicious, okay? But the simpler way is, if more than one is available, just choose one to note. Then you only have the three labels, see rest, hear rest, feel rest, at any given instant. You can choose, if you want to keep it simple, then just do exclusive, meaning if more than one is present in that instant, just acknowledge and focus on one. And then it can be the same one again or something else. But if you like the idea of all rest, then you can go for the inclusive approach. This is all described in the manual. Does that make sense? Good. So clear question, clear answer. Yes.
What about tinnitus?
Tinnitus or tinnitus is a common problem. It's ringing in your ears. I would consider it usually to be a form of hear out, because even though it's maybe inside your ear, it's of physical origin. You don't really think in tinnitus. You think in words, right? Mental sentences, phrases. So in terms of sensory classification, it's hear out. People often report tinnitus. Let me just give you a quick summary of how to work with it. If you're focusing on rest, you can either ignore it or you can interpret it as white noise. If it's restful for you, you can make it a hear rest, okay? However, if tinnitus is a problem, it's only a problem because of your thoughts and emotions that react to it moment by moment. So there may not be anything you could do about the tinnitus, but you may be able to separate your reaction and sort of work with that, so that even though the tinnitus is still there, your mental and emotional reactions are just sort of a flow of energy, and they're not tangled together. And so the problem is still there, but you aren't. So the problem has been solved. Yes?
I'm a bit confused about...
Do you recall that I somewhat addressed this question last night? Okay. And the reason is because it takes a long time to acquire new skills. One has to sort of hear the same thing many, many times. So last night I talked about common resistances to the noting process. And I mentioned exactly what you said, that initially the work required to create the labels, or even if you don't label, just the work required to keep track of the sensory experience creates a sense of a meditating self. There's an I over here, trying to keep track of an it over there. And it creates a stronger sense of self and more separation initially. That can happen. However, that is a temporary phenomenon that goes away with time. Okay? As you keep practicing, it goes away with time. The metaphor, the example that I gave was learning to drive a car. When you first learn how to drive the car, you have to think about everything, and it's very effortful, and you are quite separate from driving. But then at some point, the skill of driving becomes second nature. You don't have to think about it. It doesn't require effort. And you simply get in the car and you are one with driving. But that only happens after the skill is fully internalized. So until that happens, it is true that the noting may create a sense of a self, and it may create a distance from the object. So you have two choices. One is just as good as the other. You can either continue with the noting technique until it becomes second nature and the problem goes away. Or you can find some other approach that will bring the same results, some other way of meditating that doesn't involve noting, and just don't note. Do something else, something that appeals to you. Either of those is as good as the other. But I can tell you that the problem that you're describing is a beginner's problem that goes away when you're no longer a beginner. Okay? Yeah.
I understand.
Yes. So this is a deep and involved question. This is not a superficial question. This is not a question with a 30-second answer. Okay? It is a question with a clear answer, however. But it's more like a 30-minute answer for starters. It is a completely legitimate question. It is a question around which even the great masters have had difficulty. When trying to express things, okay? Therefore, there have developed seemingly contradictory approaches to the same endeavor. That's how deep the question is. It's a question of huge human confusion. Huge human confusion. Okay, so that means it's a good question. So can I give a 30-second answer to minimum 30-minute question, okay? Let's see if I can try. A teacher will give you some technique, at least one technique. Even if it's a technique called don't meditate, that's still a technique, okay? So a teacher will give you at least one technique and will describe to you how to do that technique properly. It's like a coach taking you to a piece of exercise equipment and saying, sit this way, breathe this way, move your body this way, do this many repetitions with this kind of pacing. That's how to use this piece of equipment. Okay? Now, when you get that instruction, you can do that perfectly as soon as you get that instruction. The instructor didn't say you have to be able to lift a certain weight or that you have to be able to do it many, many times. They just said, this is the proper way to use this piece of equipment. And then they watch you use that piece of equipment. And they say, yes, you're using the equipment properly. After that, what's going to happen? Well, you keep using the equipment and your body changes. Okay? What makes that change in your body? It's not the equipment. It's not the teacher. It's not even you. It's just the nature of the body. If you exercise it in a certain way, it changes in a certain way. So a person starts with meditation. They can have enough self to want to do the exercise properly. Okay? Yes, that amount of self is needed. Okay? If the instruction was focus on your breath, then yeah, you have to keep coming back to the breath. At some point, consciousness begins to change. And the no-self begins to take over. And that's how you sort of solve that problem. Okay? At some point, instead of exercising, you find that you are being exercised. At some point, instead of noting, you find that you are being noted. Because you've set up a certain habit, you've set up a certain, you've given nature half a chance. You have to give nature half a chance. There's this giant pile of trash, and it's going to take a huge fire to get rid of it. And we don't have a flamethrower. Fortunately, though, we do have enough strength to strike a match with our own volition and toss the match into the pile. Fortunately for us, it is in the nature of that pile of trash that it will burn itself up. But we have to exercise a little bit of self to light that match, throw it into the mind-body, and let time or God's grace, which are exactly the same thing in my way of thinking, do the rest. And that's how you use the self to go beyond the self. Or at least one way to think about it. Does that help? Oh, good. If that helps, then good for you. Yes. I see a hand back there. That's yours, but you're going to have to yell.
Yesterday, after you...
Let it go and do what you can do. So maybe you can just feel rest a little bit somewhere in the body. Definitely don't make a good thing into a bad thing by trying to reproduce it. That's what I mean when I say give nature half a chance. You just do the procedure as instructed. Anybody can do it as instructed. You might not have much concentration. I said we're going to elevate your base level of concentration, clarity, and equanimity. I didn't say you'd have much concentration, clarity, and equanimity while you're meditating. You may not. Nature is going to do that with time for you. All you have to do is give nature half a chance. Put yourself in a simple environment. Put yourself in a simple posture, settle in, and to the best of your ability, follow the instruction of the technique. Time or grace will do the rest. So if you fall into some really delicious thing, great, keep doing the technique. If you fall out of that, but can still do the technique to some extent, then just keep doing the technique. Without worrying about getting back to a previous result. Yes. Sorry to point to people. Don't know people's names. No, a purple. Yeah. Sorry. And that's Imbal, isn't it? Isn't it? Is it Imbal? Your name?
My name?
Yes. Juditha, sorry. Well, see, I can't, even with my glasses, I can't see. Okay, Juditha, very good. Sorry, go ahead.
And also, I'm a little bit...
Okay.
What would I say to that?
Well, it's true, I haven't given you any specific technique for dealing with emotion other than to ignore it and come back to rest. That's because at this retreat, we're emphasizing the techniques of focus on rest and nurture positive. So we aren't specifically going into the things we went into in the last retreat with emotions. So what to do when emotions come up? Well, essentially, when a challenge comes up, you've got a choice. You can either turn towards the challenge and analyze it into its components, and then analyze the components down into the flow of spirit. And that's called penetrating the problem. And then it becomes not a problem. So that's one basic strategy, and I call that turn towards. Another basic strategy is turn away. Just have equanimity with it, let it do its thing, but focus on a restful state, or focus on a positive state, or anchor out, or whatever else. So in this retreat, no, I haven't given an emotional deconstruction technique. It is described in the manual under focus in, and that will review it for you. If you want to do that, you're welcome to do that. Okay, I'm realizing we need to take a little period for practice in motion. So we're gonna, you'll recall that walking meditation or doing a stretch or doing labor or eating, I call these all practice in motion. You'll also recall that in my particular philosophy for walking, I don't give you a separate technique. Any technique that you can do in stillness, I think it's good to learn how to do it in motion.